Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, my wonderful, beautiful friends. Welcome back to another episode of r/Entitled People, where people apparently think they can do no wrong and that they should always, always get what they want. Guys, before we dive into today's stories, take a look at this. A patient dies in India after a family unplugs the ventilator to plug in air cooler. The hospital's air conditioners had been deactivated to prevent the spread of coronavirus, so the patient's family brought a portable air cooler. Ugh, guys, imagine being so entitled that your comfort is more important than your family member's life. Holy crap. My friends, in this episode, you're going to hear three super entitled stories. So the first one comes from a subscriber, and it's a story about the time she worked at Kmart as a cashier. The second story, a Karen pretends to be the owner's daughter to get what she wants. And we'll finish up with a story about an entitled bride-to-be. My friends, I hope you stay for the stories today, and do hit that subscribe button for future stories. If you guys like this kind of stuff, let's dive in. Back in the early 2000s, I got a job working as a cashier at Kmart. This story may have happened 2 decades ago, but this particular day is forever burned into my memory, as I think it deeply wounded, if not killed, my inner optimist. I had just finished my first few days of training and shadowing other cashiers, and today was my first real day. I was finally cut loose. Customers trickled through my line, each as sweet as before, each slowly calming my nerves. All was right with the world. It was about 5 minutes from my first 15-minute break, and I was dreaming of crazy breadsticks. Slowly but surely, a quite elderly man made his way to my aisle. Let's call him Father Time. I would be doing you all a disservice if I simply said that Father Time looked like a classic super old guy. I have to paint this picture for you because it's personally important to me. I first was taken aback by his size and posture. He was very short and severely hunched over his cane. If you were to straighten him up all the way, I'd probably still be taller than him. He also had a real thin frame with even thinner looking skin. It was the dead of summer, but he shivered like a chihuahua in February. Slowly, he walked down my aisle. Each movement he made seemed calculated and deliberate. I wasn't sure if he was afraid of tripping and falling over or was looking for spare change on the ground. His attire did not disappoint me either, and I had all the time in the world to take it in. He had dark brown leather loafers and the whitest socks I've ever seen. He had on crisply iron tan dress pants that hiked up to his nipples, firmly held in place with both a belt and suspenders. His blue pinstripe short sleeve dress shirt had more starch in it than a loaf of bread, which he paired with a navy bow tie. His glasses were as thick as Coke bottles, and I'm surprised they were able to stay on his face. Oh, and of course, he topped it all off with a snazzy fedora and a big smile that showed off his ill-fitting dentures. I cannot stress enough how non-threatening this man looked. I said, "Hello, sir. Welcome to Kmart. How may I help you today?" Father Time says, "I would like to buy this." He then carefully hands me a diabetic meal replacement candy bar that we sold near the pharmacy. It certainly was not the one we sold near the registers. I scan his candy bar and total his balance. And I say, "Oh, it looks like this is on sale. It will only be 99 cents, sir." His face lights up like he hit the jackpot and said, "Oh, I have a coupon." He reaches into his pocket and pulls out this meticulously folded piece of paper. I take a glance at it, and it's for $1 off. I perk up too, because I'm happy for him. Who doesn't like a free candy bar? I scan the coupon, and this dreadful sound comes from the register. You all know that sound. The coupon was rejected. I look at it more closely and discover the coupon expired in 1998. I sheepishly look at Father Time and said, I'm sorry, sir, but this coupon expired a few years ago. Father Time's grin slowly fades as confusion sweeps across his face, and he says, "Please, try it again, young lady. I just clipped that last Sunday." I shrug and scan it again, with the same result, and said, I'm sorry, sir. The computer's not letting me apply the coupon. Would you like me to page a manager?" Father Time responds, "I really don't have the time to wait around." He then puts his hand on his back and somehow manages to look even more fragile than he already is. And he said, "Standing around is a young man's game. Can I just have my candy bar and a penny now, and you sort this out with her later?" Now it was my turn to look confused. I said, "Excuse me? Your penny?" Father Time is starting to look annoyed and said, "Yes, it's 99 cents with $1 off. That means you owe me a penny." I'm kind of speechless because this was not covered in my training. I told him, "I'm gonna have to wait for a manager, sir. I'm pretty sure I do not have the authority to pay you for taking a candy bar." I then reach for the phone and page my manager. Instead of coming to the register, she calls me from another department and says, "Hey, I'm busy in layaway right now. What do you need help with?" I told her, "I have a customer here trying to buy a special candy bar. He has a dollar off coupon for it, but it expired. It's ringing up for 99 cents instead of $2.25, and he wants us to accept the coupon and give him a penny in return. Is that something we can do?" My manager's silent for a moment and probably had the same confused expression that I did and said, "What? No, that item isn't on sale. It's being discontinued and clear and stout. Even if the coupon was valid, we could not accept it, and we would never give change back on the difference of a coupon. Just politely tell him that." And then I heard it. Wham! I reflexively jump up and scream. When I turn to face Father Time, I realize that he hit the counter with his cane and was swinging again to hit me. I don't know if he could hear what the manager was saying or decided that he had waited around too long, but either way, he was pissed. I scream again as I drop the phone and duck behind the register. He hits the register with enough force to break the brace used to anchor it to the counter and lift it a little. He's now sweeping the counter with his cane, hitting and knocking over everything displayed as he's shouting. He's screaming, "Give. Me. My. Penny." Soon I hear the distinct sound of a pair of high heels running full speed, as well as the footsteps of others. Father Time snatched back his cane, grabs his candy bar, spits in my direction, and storms out of the store. Manager and a member of Loss Prevention arrive and find me peeking out past my register with my entire aisle a freaking wreck. By this point, I'm done with the day, and apparently it was written all over my face. My manager says, "Hey OP, why don't we come back to my office and help me fill out some paperwork and call it a day?" By this point, I'm shaking worse than Father Time was and just nodded. We go back and file a report, and my manager is at a loss for words. A coworker buys me a soda from the break room, and I just leave. I bet I look like a zombie as I left. I swear, I slept the whole day when I got home. I've never been that drained before, and I don't know why I didn't quit right then and there, but the smile on my manager's face when I returned the next day for my shift was priceless. I also got a free lunch at the K Cafe that day, which is the coolest thing ever to my 17-year-old self. Aside from that being a terrifying experience, OP now has a wonderful story to tell for the rest of her life. I've said it once, and I'll say it again. I have mad respect for those who work in retail and have to deal with Karens and crazy people all the time. Imagine going to work and getting attacked by an old man. Oh my goodness.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
So, a little backstory on where I work. It's a very small family business where we sell pools and pool chemicals. Only two desks in our office, which can fully see into the showroom. One desk for the manager and one for me. Also, when I say a small business, I mean it. Normally it was just me and my mom who's the manager. However, we had just recently hired someone new that was a little older than me. I was 21 at the time, and my new coworker was 28. My mom had to go and pick up some office supplies for us and mail off some bills, so it was just me and my coworker. We weren't very busy at the time since it was a weekday and fairly close to closing time. So I was sitting at my desk and he was sitting at the manager's desk since he didn't have one of his own. We were both on our phones playing around and waiting to hear the door open. We hear the door open and my coworker, who we'll just call Matt, starts to get up. And I tell Matt that I've got this one, so he sits back down. I stand up and see this lady, Karen, and her kid come in and start walking around. I walk out to the showroom and welcome them to the store and ask if they need help finding anything. Karen says, "We are just looking right now. I'll let you know if we have any questions." Her kid responds, "I want a pool toy. Where's the toys at?" I looked at him and said, "Well, the pool toys are right over there, in the aisle by the door, and on that wall there." I motioned to the wall where all the displays were, and Karen says, "I told you that we don't need any help right now." I just stepped back and walked into the office, not wanting any more confrontations this close to closing. They continued looking around for another few minutes when I heard the kid hollering from the front of the store. I look up and the kid was climbing on our ladder samples, which clearly have neon green signs that say, "Do not climb on." So I walked up and politely told the kid that he couldn't climb on them. Karen is her Karen self and says something along the lines of, "Don't tell my kid what to do." And the kid, who's 10, starts crying. I said, "I'm sorry, but it's against company policy to have anyone climbing on them for safety purposes." I point at the sign that says you can't, and Karen says, "Well, you should have made the sign bigger." I'm not the best at containing my frustration, and when I get frustrated at someone, my sarcasm comes out with absolutely zero filter. This kid had been running around our store screaming like a banshee, and I was getting very annoyed. Me, under my breath, said, "Well, maybe try using your eyes next time." Karen says, "What did you say to me?" I said to look for a sign next time you want to let your son climb all over the displays in the store. And I walked away. She continues walking around with the kid still crying until she gets to the one corner where we have some Legos for kids to play with while their parents wait to have their water tested or be helped. Mind you, the area was closed and had the lights shut off. The kid screaming and said, "I want to play with those Legos." I wasn't even in the mood to say no, as long as it stopped him from crying. Then, he starts to carry them out from the designated area and throwing them down the aisles at our toy displays. I had enough, because I knew I was going to have to clean it up, and I told him, "You are not allowed to take the Legos from the play area. Please put them back from where you got them." And Karen says, "Who do you think you are talking to my son that way?" I said, "I'm simply telling you both that what he's been doing is not allowed in the store and he needs to stop." Then, Karen drops the bomb and says, "Well, how dare you talk to us that way? I'll have you know that I'm the owner's daughter and I'll have you fired for this." Mind you, the owners are my grandparents and she sure as hell isn't my aunt. Karen walks up to Matt and says, "Have you heard how your employee talks to me? He's the rudest employee I've ever met. And as the owner's daughter, I demand that he get written up or be fired." Matt replies to her, "Well, I can't do that. I can't fire him because he's my boss." Karen finally shuts up and looks at me while I'm grabbing the picture frame off the wall. I slide it in front of her and point to my label. My label has my name and the words assistant manager underneath my name and title. Her face turned every shade of red under the sun. And I say, So you mean to tell me that you're a long-lost aunt of mine? Because if not, you can get the hell out of the store." She practically drags her kid out of the store while trying to run out the doors. She kept pushing on our doors trying to get out, and they're pull doors. The things that some people say to get what they want. "I'm gonna have you fired. I'm the owner's daughter." "No, you aren't, ma'am. Get out of my store." Imagine using that line and having it backfire on you. Oh, just thinking about the embarrassment that she must have felt makes me cringe. Silly, silly Karens. This isn't my story, but the story of my friend, a man who was at the time in his late 20s, well over 6'4", shy, and a hardcore gamer and metalhead. At the time, he was engaged to a princess who dreamed of a big wedding in Disney World. She wanted the big cake, the big dress, and would style her outfits every day so she would resemble a Disney princess. All is fine. Her outfits were pretty cute, but the problem was he was the only one working, yet she did a lot of the spending. When they first got engaged, she instantly began wedding planning, and things were getting ridiculously expensive, but he had little to no input whatsoever. After adding it all up and doing the budgeting, my friend finally spoke up and put his foot down. He's an easygoing guy, and was happy for her to plan the whole thing how she wanted, and he knew she'd been planning this for years. The problem was, he simply could not afford everything she wanted. He offered her a compromise, that they had a smaller wedding, but the dream Disney honeymoon she wanted, and even agreed that she could get the dream dress. The compromise was going well, until she began picking out the groom's outfit. She wanted him to wear a white head-to-toe tweed suit, and pink shoes to match her flowers. He agreed to try it on, and a few of his friends went with him for support, and they all agreed it didn't look like him. As I mentioned earlier, he's a chill guy, but he's very shy and introverted, and he felt very uncomfortable in that suit. He attempted another compromise. He will wear the shoes, but he wanted a black or gray, slightly more traditional outfit. This is when she flipped and had a major meltdown in front of his family and friends at the barbecue they were hosting. When he tried on the suit and decided that he didn't want to wear it, everyone assumed that was the end of it, but this had become a heated argument behind closed doors that we learned was for over 2 weeks. The first sign of a meltdown I heard was a loud screaming in their garden. I was getting another beer at the time, so I came running outside to see what happened. The bride-to-be was on the floor screaming and crying and literally throwing a tantrum like a small child. She had been trying to pressure him into wearing that suit again at the party by telling all his family about the suit and how he looks great in it. She had been going around the garden trying to get people to convince him to grow a pair and to wear the suit. When he confronted her, this is when she let out a huge scream of anguish and threw herself to the floor in front of everyone. Stunned and confused, me and all the other guests just watched the events unfold. She claimed if he loved her, that he would wear the suit that she wanted and give her a bigger budget for the wedding, because all these constraints and budgets are ruining her big day. I have never in my life seen this guy raise his voice or even defend himself, and he stood up for himself this day. He told her that it was just a suit, and it's not her big day. It's meant to be their big day, and he wouldn't feel comfortable in the suit, and she should respect that. I think she was just as shocked as we were, but then she pulled out the big guns of the argument. She gave him an ultimatum. If he wouldn't wear the suit, then the engagement was off and the relationship was over, and he should leave now. This is when he began laughing, and I thought he'd actually lost it. He replied that it was his house. Apparently her name wasn't on anything inside the house, including the pets and the honeymoon they booked. He also called the engagement off and told her parents to take her home. They did, with her kicking and screaming. This memory always makes me laugh. My friend's okay, I'm not really sure what happened to her, but I know the only thing he gave back to her was her clothes and that's it. I haven't seen or spoken to her since. I understand that to many, a wedding day has to be the most fantastic, fabulous, perfect, most magical day ever. But if the engagement is called off and a relationship ends over what suit the groom has to wear, OP's friend has got to be wondering if he dodged a bullet on that one. And that, my friends, brings us to another end of our slash entitled people. If you guys missed yesterday's episode, a Karen calls the cops because OP was trespassing on his own land and she gets evicted. Check it out if you haven't, and I'll see you guys in the next one. I love you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.